Okay, so hi, my name's Amrita. I'm a beautiful member of the program. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to do service. Thank you for your service, Shauna and Sue. I call my story a story of dark, I mean, story called dark, From the Darkness to the Light. So I'll just share from my heart. I have nothing prepared. So I was when I was born, my mother started hitting me very, very, very badly. She started thrashing me because she didn't want a girl child, and she thrashed me all the way till I was 19. My parents used to fight very, very badly, and so there was a lot of violence, a lot of domestic violence in the house. My mother's brother sexually abused me numerous times when I was 8 years old. The violence continued, the fights continued, and I think, the saddest thing of this was that I was expected to perform at my highest peak in school. My mother expected me to get A's in all subjects, and if I didn't get A's, I would be thrashed. I was thrashed about 2 to 3 times a day, every day, whether that my dad fought with my mom fought with my dad. It was always my fault. It was always my fault. And it was very sad and scary for a 5-year-old to go through all that, and plus to go through the sexual abuse that I was going through. There were multiple abusers, and I didn't tell anyone about it. I just kept quiet. I blocked out those memories, and I just kept functioning like a normal person. But inside me, there was a storm. There was this, I still remember there was such a storm. The sexual abuse and its effects were pulling me to one side, whereas on the other hand, I was trying to be normal and function and, deal with life and, its trials and tribulations, like, being in school and, doing, having crushes and then coming back home and dealing with this. I was always scared. I was always frightened. But at the same time, I was always laughing and smiling because that's the life I wanted to live. I wanted to be normal. And all my friends from grade five, I mean, they were still friends, have had normal childhoods. So I think looking at them, I wished, for a normal childhood, but I didn't have the words to put that in at that point in time. So time passed like this till I was 19, and the violence kept going on, the domestic conflicts kept going on. The abuse had stopped, but I was a mental wreck. And when I turned 19, my cousins, my dad's younger brothers' kids, who were siblings to me, they died in a freak fire that went off in a cinema hall. And 75 people died that day. And before I knew it, I was standing in the middle of the hospital, identifying bodies in a morgue of 35 bodies. And I was only like six, I think 19 or 18 or something like that. And I remember walking through this morgue full of, like, I mean, it was hardly a morgue. There were so many dead people. It was just stretchers with, faces that were uncovered to see who's who. And I walked through that entire mall, a morgue, and there was no one there. And I still remember feeling scared and saying to myself, no 19-year-old should be doing this. And I walked right back because I couldn't find my cousins. So to see that mass tragedy at that young age was just devastating. And I think I was holding it all together with a thin thread. Until that day, because I still had hope, I still had some hope. I had kept it alive till that day. And I remember coming back from that, from the funeral, and it was sitting at night, and I was drinking. And I said to God, I looked up at God and I said, up till now, I really believed you existed. I held on to your belief. I prayed to you again and again to stop the violence, to stop the anger, to stop the abuse, but you never did it. And I still believed in you. But from today, I'm not going to believe in you. I'm never, ever going to believe in you. You don't exist Because my cousins and I, like, we grew up one house away from each other. We played with each other. We grew up together till we were 16. So they were siblings to me, you know. And to see, like, my aunt and uncle who lost both their kids on the same day, being reduced to a state of, like, absolute animals who were in pain and who were in shock, it was too much for me to take. And I think that day on, I broke. And so I went on a self-destruct rampage, sex. I left home when I was 19, and I finished my bachelor's, master's, and PhD in America. I really don't know how I studied. I don't know how. I just know I drank myself silly. I abused drugs. I think I missed being an alcoholic by, I think, 4 months or something, literally, because there's the addictive gene in my family. The abuser, the sexual abuser, was an alcoholic. So anyway, so there was this addictive gene, and I was drinking a bottle of vodka a night and performing. I was a straight A student performing and teaching, and I have no idea how I did it. And self-harm, like, I've fallen in bars, gotten 10 stitches under my chin, taken to a hospital in an ambulance, drank the next day. And I had absolutely no regard for life, and I was chasing the darkness. And I think that went on for about 12, 13 years. And my dad was so scared. What I forgot to say was that my dad and my grandmom loved me a lot. So if there's love in my heart, it's because of them. But they also went patchy because, you know, the mother used to trouble them and me and everyone. So everybody just went in their separate directions, but they did give me love. So my dad, who still, I mean, I live with them through the out of choice right now, he still worries for me, but he was very worried when I was going through my absolute self-destruct phase. And I remember breaking up with a boyfriend of mine who had been a boyfriend of mine for 5 years, and we were going to get married. And I remember he had lost his center, and I broke up with him. And I remember that the next day I went drinking. And I drank and I drank and I drank. I drank so much. I was out at a party, and I drank so much. And I came back the next day, and I felt like an absolute ashtray. And I felt empty inside. I felt hollow inside. And it was just horrible. I knew that if I didn't do something that day, I would die. And I remember walking in. The only thing I knew was a meditation group that I had heard of, that my friend led. So I walked myself in there, and I'll never forget that day. The knife just turned inwards, and so began my journey of healing and recovery. And I think I had reached the stage by then that, you know, I had no, well, the first 4 years were really, really hard for me because, you know, there was so much pain and suffering, and I didn't have a therapist at that point. All I had was my meditation guide, who decided to speak to me through the alternative universe. I was working as a counterterrorism analyst at that point in India, in Delhi. I had come back from America at that point, and I was working. All I could, I was drinking, I was abusing substances. All I could do was go to work, go to yoga class, come back and write papers. That's all I could do. And the thing is, because my mother never let me sit when I was depressed or anxious, I think depression and anxiety began in me when I was 3 years old. I remember the first time I was depressed, I saw an image of a butterfly, and I was petrified. So, you know, I've lived with depression and anxiety my whole life, and my mother never let me sit, so she always made me perform. So I think when I get depressed, by the grace of God, something good came out of this mess. I perform. I don't sit. I don't lie down. So anyway, so I was performing. No one knew on the outside, you know, that I was suffering from the inside. I hadn't told anyone. I hadn't spoken to anyone about it. All they saw was, you know, a decent-looking girl who was, you know, acing her exams or on this trajectory, which was sort of, you know, flying high, sky high of fun and education and this and that, but no one saw my sadness inside. And anyway, I started healing, I started meditating, and the first 4 years were the hardest. I remember crying when I was driving to work. I would sit and I would cry because I had to change every thought, every feeling of mine on my own. And it was so hard. And then came in my therapist, and I had no medication. She kept asking me to go for medication, and I kept denying it. I kept pushing it away. And I worked with her. I started therapy in 2009. I still see her once in 4 weeks out of
Time,
my own
I
choice.
mean, five
Yeah,
minutes,
sorry.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah. So then began the stage of healing. I've been healing for 19 years. I told my parents about the sexual abuse. I've drawn my boundaries, and I just reached a phase where I said, you know, you people can live, can die, do whatever you want. I'm not going to function in this mess anymore. And the thing is, I could have moved out because that would have been fine. But I had already run away from home, and they kept following me wherever I went. The pain and suffering kept following me. So I decided to come back home and to create the peace here in the mess, in the chaos. And after 19 years of like saying, I'm not going to participate in any more violence. I'm going to live my life. Today, we live a life of peace and serenity. And it's a spacious house, so we don't bump into each other. There is a lot of love. I've drawn healthy boundaries with my mother. She doesn't interfere in my space. I don't interfere in hers. Discussion, dialogue, conversations are all a part of this house right now. And so I still suffer from depression and anxiety, and it still comes badly every day. But I think my story is a story of absolute miracles. You know, when they say that grace and the 12 steps work, I joined another 12 step program. I started yoga, meditation, chanting. I paint. All of these things are a part of my recovery process. And I still do therapy. I'm a part of two step 12 step programs. And I have to do this every day, or else I'll fall. I'm scared I'll fall into the darkness. And but here I sit today in front of you, smiling, sharing this story as a fact. And I have to say the pain has reduced. It's just a memory now. Healing works, recovery works. And there's peace in this house where there was only violence. We'd fight with knives in our house, you know. And people are nice and courteous to each other. And I have not never seen a miracle like that. So that's my story, and that's where I'm at today. And thank you all for being a part of my journey and my recovery, because I value this group so much. And in winters, I can't come, I can't join it because of daylight saving time. So I try to do as many meetings as I can, but I miss the group in winters. But that's, and thank you for listening to me share. And it's really, really sweet of you guys to let me share. Thank you so much. Thank you.